O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I know this is an overworked text on the subject of thanksgiving, of being grateful. So I had to think several times whether I dared use it again. Do I want to plow this field again? I was thinking to myself. But then again, that's like parables are kind of like plowed fields. Every time you go through it, every time you plow through a parable, you get something new. New soil is turned over. So I decided I would tackle it one more time. Take the matter of why the 9 healed men were not thankful. Or were they not thankful? Maybe they were just so thankful they forgot to be thankful. Because you see, they had been excluded from society for a long time, some of them, I suppose, years. And they had to walk around with little bells on their around their neck, tinkling, so people would know to stay away. They were had this disease that was contagious. And so they were in a hurry to live again. I think they were in a hurry to go back to their families, to rejoin society, to be mainstreamed once more. I can imagine at least one of them tearing a little bell around his neck and throwing it as far as he could throw it. They were in such a hurry to live that they didn't take time to be thankful. Well, I can relate to that. So many times I've been so busy with busyness that I forget to be thankful. I remember hearing a story of the woman whose husband was up for promotion, and she was invited to a very important dinner. And she was anxious to help him get the promotion. And for several years, she had been a housewife. She had been tending kids, doing soccer games, and running the carpools, and she was feeling out of touch. So she decided that she'd take a crash course in politics and sociology and economics. And when the evening came, she was ready. And she was seated right next to the boss. And she was brilliant, brilliant. Talking all about the price of commodities, the styles in Italy, the latest developments in the Sino-American trade relations. And as she was talking and gushing all this information, she noticed that the boss had a strange look on his face. And she suddenly looked down and realized she was cutting up the meat on his plate for him. We get so tangled up with busyness that we forget what we're doing sometimes. And what does busyness do to thankfulness? It crowds it out. It excludes it. Not purposely. We don't do it intentionally, but it just happens. Seeing life as we pass through is an art. It takes discipline. It takes courage sometimes to say, I'm taking some time out. I'm always remembering a member of the Episcopal Order of St. Helena, Sister Corita. I wrote her a note inviting her to come lead a class on meditation at Trinity Church, where I was living in New York City at the time. And she wrote a note back to me and said, "Dear, I'm trying to be quiet." Signed, Sister Corita. That was it. I'm trying to be quiet. And in her mind, that was enough. And there's something compensatory about coming down with the flu or a virus sometimes, isn't it? Because it gives you an excuse to withdraw. Oh, I can't be around you. I have to stay home and enjoy myself. That's the rest of the sentence, but it never comes out. You remember the feeling of having everything just thrown into neutral? I remember the custodian at a church one time. They were having a big meeting, a big ladies' meeting. Pardon me, ladies. And he was the custodian, and they said, "John, how on earth do you get along with all these women?" He said, "Well, I just put it neutral and goes where I'm pushed." The older I get, the more I'm like that. I just kind of put it neutral. Anyway, quality over quantity is important. So much of the time we're told that quantity is the main thing. And we miss the idea of quality in our lives. Things get lost in the shuffle when we strive for quantity. It may have been that's what happened to those 9 lepers that didn't come back. Because you see, they missed out. They missed out because they did not give thanks, which is real important in our own lives. There was a choir director one time, John, and he had this brilliant idea. And when I had brilliant ideas when I was a choir director too. Some of them didn't work. This fellow was doing, he and his chorus and orchestra were doing a Mahler in the Night Visitors, and he had this idea at the end. The chorus, the curtain would close, and the audience would drift off in silence, contemplating what this all meant. Sounded like a good idea, but the fact was, at the end, the curtain closed, and the audience was confused. Because they didn't get a chance to show their appreciation, their thankfulness. And the choir was annoyed because they didn't get a chance to receive thankfulness. It's very important in our lives to give and receive appreciation. One of those, and I'm assuming they're men, maybe I shouldn't assume that. But anyway, one of the men came back and showed his appreciation to Christ. One of them came back to Christ and to worship. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Worship, that's the reason we're here. Worship to give thanks. We call this the Great Thanksgiving, Holy Eucharist. Thanksgiving is important. That we show it and that we receive it. I tell a lot of stories about New York City because a lot happened to me in 3 years. I heard a minister saying one time he spotted an old gentleman in the church. And half hour later, as the priest was coming out, he met the old man in the foyer of the church, and the old man kind of noticed a strange look on the face of the priest, which he interpreted as meaning, "I need to explain something." And so he explained to the priest. He said, "I used to come to this church many years ago. My wife and I were married here 60 years ago today. She's been dead for 8 years. But I wanted to come back here today and give thanks for everything that we had together. It's been a wonderful life," he said. "In all the things that I had to do," the priest said, "I almost forgot about that old man. But as I was going home on the subway that evening, I thought about him and I realized that's what it's all about. Coming back to give thanks That old man was one of God's victories. He was a child of God. He was part of God's kingdom, as you and I are. When we were in Japan, one of our side trips was to visit a Buddhist temple. And while we were there, the monk in charge was leading us, our group. We had 16 people in the group, leading our group in a meditation. And he said, as we sit here in silence, think about all the people that have worked together in your life so that you're here at this time in this place. Think of all the people in your life that have supported you so that you're here this Sunday morning, this time, in this place. And he said to us, think about, for instance, your tour leader who brought you here. Think about the bus driver that was driving the bus that brought you here. Think about all the people that work for the airlines, the pilot and the airline attendants, and all the other people, the guy that fueled the plane that got you here. Think of all those people. And he said, think way back, beginning with your parents or whomever you lived with as a young person. And think about those people that have supported you and have been a force in your life. And so I'm giving you an assignment this week. Take time to slow down sometime and either make a list or think over people in your life that have been blessing to you. And perhaps you need to drop that person a note and say, I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. And be thankful for God, for God is in charge. Thank you. Amen.